Sharing God's Mission, Commentary for the October 28, 2023 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Reform your ways and your actions, and I will let you live in this place. Do not trust in deceptive words and say, "This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord." If you really change your ways and your actions and deal with each other justly, if you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not follow other gods to your own harm, then I will let you live in this place, in the land I gave your ancestors forever and ever. Jeremiah 7, verses 3 through 7. The current context of what has been happening in the Levant is an eye-opener to this week's lesson, for the covenant central to this lesson, the eponymous Abrahamic covenant detailed in Genesis chapter 12, is a basis for modern Israel's claim to Palestine. It is a claim that not only resonates with many Jews who have long sought refuge from persecution, it also resonates with fundamentalist Christians who believe that God will never abandon the Jews and that the temple must be rebuilt in Jerusalem to herald the return of Jesus. Both parties are tempted to rejoice at the potential to finally wipe the Palestinian people from the map so that the Jews can fully reclaim their land and get started on that temple. As a result, Israel and the United States are locked in a macabre tango of death and destruction for no other reason than that the Jews claim to be God's chosen people, and far too many fundamentalists buy into that narrative without question. Faced with the reality of an attack on Jewish civilians, where Hamas murdered the elderly, women, children, young concertgoers, and anyone else they could destroy, instead of realizing it was their own ill-prepared military that allowed it to happen, they began to repay the favor by also destroying innocents as collateral damage to strikes on Hamas in Gaza. Then to up the ante, they cut off food, water, and electricity to Gaza, including medical facilities. They claim to be waging lawful warfare, but targeting infrastructure and medical facilities, despite the harm this can cause to innocents, is not what the rules of warfare allow, as developed over the last 70 years. We have come to expect such indifference and injustices from autocracies, but we have been taught since childhood that democracies live by a different light, the light of justice. We in the United States have had to face our own demons in this regard. The firebombing of Dresden and the atomic blasts over Hiroshima and Nagasaki swept over 150,000, many innocent non-combatant civilians, into graves. We did that. Such devastation and injustice led us to the 1949 Geneva Convention to prevent such events ever happening again. Millions lost their lives during the Second World War. Over 6 million of them were Jewish civilians. If anyone could understand the injustice of that, one would think the Jews could. Yet here we are today as though we have all learned nothing. When I see a mother lying next to her child in a hospital bed in Gaza, both bloodied from the destruction of their home, my heart breaks. But it breaks not just from the horror for that mother and child, it breaks for Israel as well. I ask myself, what part of the prophet Jeremiah's words do they not understand? If you do not oppress the foreigner, the fatherless, or the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, then I will let you live in this place. When Jeremiah prophesied in Jerusalem, so much evil was taking place that during Manasseh's reign, the streets were said to flow with the blood of the innocent. God could not ignore that evil, and despite his promise to Abraham, he did not intervene when Babylonians sacked the city, destroyed the temple built by Solomon, and carried much of its wealth and its citizenry back to Babylon, where they remained for 70 years. Then Daniel's prayer of national repentance on behalf of the Jews marked a turning point when God could support their return to Israel. One would think that they would have learned justice, mercy, and compassion as a result. But instead, they murdered the Messiah and persecuted and murdered his followers. As a result, the temple built to replace Solomon's temple, and later improved by Herod, was destroyed, and no temple has been rebuilt since. This has not stopped religious Jews and fundamentalist Christians from believing that a third temple will be built and will usher in the coming of the Messiah. But they miss the context that allowed the construction of the second temple. Repentance for the injustices and bloodshed of the past made it possible. There has been no repentance by either Jews or Christians that would halt the injustices and the bloodshed that never seems to stop. Zacchaeus, the diminutive tax collector who hosted Jesus at his home, stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Luke 19:8. Jesus responded, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham." Verse 9. It is not being a biological descendant of Abraham that makes one a party to the covenant with Abraham. It is a condition of one's heart, whether it is filled with bitterness and revenge or compassion and mercy. Whatever was the state of his heart before, after his encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus had the latter. Just as today, the Jews of Christ's day claim descent from Abraham and heirs of that covenant, a claim referred to often in our day as justification for the return to Israel. But Jesus rebuked them for believing this. He said, "And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham." Matthew 3, verse 9. In a way, we are seeing a repeat of Israel's experience in Christ's day. They did not learn justice and mercy because of their Babylonian captivity. They believed that because they had the temple and the ongoing sacrifices, that God's favor rested on them. They confused their will, politically and morally, to be the equivalent of God's will. Whenever anyone rose to challenge that, they did so at the risk of martyrdom, like John the Baptist, and eventually, even Jesus. The exile that resulted from the bloodshed that occurred under Manasseh did not stop them from shedding innocent blood. It brought a curse upon their nation and stopped the very sacrifices they were relying on to appease God, as though he were a pagan deity who would reward them for the massive slaughter of those animals and ignore the way they treated one another. In the early church, Christians recognized the problem, and we are told they shared everything and cared for those in need. Like Zacchaeus, they had a heart of repentance and compassion that allowed them to be grafted onto the Abrahamic covenant, not by birth, but by the creative, restorative act of God. It is hard to fathom how sacrifices came to replace mercy in the hearts of the Jews. Revenge seems to be a guiding principle in modern times. Perhaps the spirit of revenge spawned when 6 million were lost in the Holocaust. Doubtless this may have caused them to seek the security of their own homeland and spurred the return to Israel for that purpose, but the land cannot protect them. It did not save the 10 tribes from Assyria. It did not save the remnant from Babylon. It is only dirt. There's no magical property to it. Only being in a right relationship with God makes a difference. And that relationship is based on mercy, not sacrifice. Otherwise, the innocent die. As Jesus said, quoting the prophet Hosea, "If you had known what these words mean, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent." Knowing full well the results of collateral war damage on the innocent, Israel has condemned the innocent anyway. They know the pain from what Hamas inflicted upon them, and they are eager to inflict it as well. It would be naive to believe that the Jews have any respect for the words of Jesus. They do not recognize him as a Messiah. But Christians claim to, and some Christians are just as eager as the Jews to see the Palestinians get their share of pain. Israel may be severing their tie to the Abrahamic covenant by shedding so much blood. But Christians, who are only grafted onto that covenant through Christ, should think long and hard about the shedding of innocent blood and placing themselves under the same curse that has plagued the Jews throughout history. We often hear Americans claim that God favored us with our country in the New World. But if we want Him to let us live in this place, we are going to need to stop going down the path of injustice and indifference to the cries of the innocent. God will never abide that. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary along with scripture footnotes at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds of other podcasts and commentaries and articles at that website, as well as links to books written by the author. Once again, that website is www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.